Design says, this sounds like the kinos. Okay, I don't even know how to pronounce the word. The end of the pasuk says they would. How do you pronounce it? Nash. The G is silent. Nash. Yes. How do you put it? Nash their teeth. Yes. So it means to go. Like you go and you open up your lips and you put your teeth. Can everybody say please?
No, I'm talking about the teeth.
The teeth.
Grind.
Not grind.
No.
Choroik means, I don't think it means grind. It means they would like, you lift up your lips and you put your teeth together.
That's exactly the translation.
And you make noise. And it's an expression you do to mock your enemy. It says in the first kina. The first kina we say during the day, in kina vav, is that when the Jewish people, they passed through the desert, our enemies, they stood outside. They made noises, making a late sonus of the Jewish people. You'll never survive. And they put their hands together like this. You put your hands together. You wrap your hands like this. And you go. You make late sonus. It sounds very childish, right? It sounds very childish. And that's what the world, a bunch of babies. The enemies of the Jewish people are all a bunch of babies. And that's exactly what they did. That's what they did to David. And chanfei means chanifa. Chanifa, how is it relevant to this pasuk in this pasuk over here? So let's see the Mesillas David. Pasuk tezayim, the chanfei. Hema, they were referring to the enemies. David HaMelech has a lot of enemies. Do you notice that? You would think he's such a nice guy, David. Why would someone not like David? David is such a good person. He wrote
Tehillim. He has a lot of brothers.
No, because
he's at the top. That's why.
Jealous?
Sure.
Yeah, they're jealous of him.
Jewish enemies?
Yeah, all different. All they come in many varieties, like M&Ms. Many colors and shapes and genders. they come in all different types. They went woke. You know, they went woke with M&Ms. They have now crazy. You can't even buy M&Ms anymore. Meshugoyim. Okay, you'll soon there'll be a whole big fight. How could the OU give a hechsher on M&Ms when on the packaging they claim that, you know, they have all different colors and each one of the M&Ms represents a different identity? So how could the OU give a hechsher? How could what is Nachma? Is the hechsher only on the ingredients? Or is the hechsher a din, is oichid on the concept that this thing represents? So being now that M&M, it used to be that they had male M&Ms and female M&Ms.
Is there Machlokes with M&M with the glaze?
No more, not anymore. OU, it's kosher. It used to be, as far as I know. So now that on the packaging, you know, they have gone woke and they have, you know, they have, I'm not going to even use the words. Okay, we're not going to even dignify the nonsense.
And
you look on the packaging, on the packaging, on the different type of creatures that are inside. You know, it's cannibalism. How can you even eat the M&Ms? I'm talking real as it gets. Welcome to America. Welcome to this crazy world. So if you were an administrator, Mark, sitting in the OU. And someone sends in a letter and says, how could the OU give a hechsher on M&Ms when on the packaging they claim that the different M&Ms in the package represent all these different types of genders? And as far as we know, there's only two genders in this world. There's something called Zohar Unikeva Bira'om. Zohar Unikeva Bira'om. And they have now decided that they have different colors and different types, and each one of the M&Ms represents another mishagas.
There's no problem. M&Ms are no longer fruits, or they only became fruits now.
What? Candies, chocolate. Right. Chocolate, what are you talking about? We're talking about chocolate. What? No, they didn't lose. So far, good. Everything is good. So far, all is good. But I'm asking you, you're going to see that just like the Galat Yat, how can you go give a hechsher on? How can you go give a hechsher on a restaurant where they encourage music dancing, right? And it was a whole big to do. Mm-hmm. What exactly is the hechsher? Is the hechsher only on the food, or is the hechsher viewed, perceived by the community on more than just the actual food? If you have a product and the product represents a concept of something that is kineged kol ha'tarukula, does the average customer perceive that when a religious organization gives a stamp of approval, so what is the expectation? It was a very I always started to be discussing. Finally, someone agreed with me. Is they have a product? We spoke about this product called Naked. There's a juice drink. So I think the OU gives that. Who gives the hechsher on it? I don't know. Someone gives a hechsher on it. Okay, I don't know where we are. So I always thought it was very like, you walk into a Hamish store and on the rack they have this thing called Naked. You know, it's not a Yiddish type mahalach, no? All right, so everyone has a different opinion on this. So Sali, there was a woman, a Hasidish woman, that made a big stink about this. She made a very big stink and says, how do stores, Yiddish and Hamish stores in our community tolerate carrying such a product with such a name, with such big, big blatant letters? And how does a religious, Orthodox religious organization give a hechsher on such a product? Why?
It's called Naked.
Okay, I don't know the answer. But I don't think so. I think it's the name of a company. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe you're right. But whatever it is, no, even if it's the most the noblest sources, whatever, it's not. I found it very disturbing. I just passed the by. I didn't think about it.
Okay.
But this woman went to town.
That's all anyone should do if you don't like it.
She's making a very good point. Okay, we're getting sidetracked. Let's go back to the Mitzvah Stavit. Mitzvah Stavit is B'chanfei. Chanfei is, Mitzvah Stavit says, Heima yischabu im hachanefim haloyagim umisloititzim b'vnei adam b'avur matan hacharada. Now, let's read this very carefully. They, who are they? They are my enemies.
What are we reading?
I'm reading over here in the Mitzvah Stavit, page 310. Page 310 in the Mitzvah Stavit. 310. Heima they, yischabu. My enemies, they join forces. Im hachanefim, with people, he's using it here as a title of a group of people who flatterers. A flatterer basically is someone who elevates nonsense. The word flattery and leitzanis, they are two opposites. They work, go together. A leitz is a person who takes a davar that is choshuv me'od and belittles it. A mechonef is a person who takes nonsense, garbage, and elevates it to the most important thing in the world. You take total garbage, we have to worship this. We have to worship this concept. A leitz takes something that is truly valuable, an object, a person, something of value, and you make out of it nothing. It's garbage. Who cares about it? It's not important. We have a seder to learn Torah. Who needs to go to Seder? It's a waste of time. Blah, blah, blah. That's called the lates. Let's go to the movies. You got to see this movie. You got to see this actor. You got to see what he does in this movie. Who is this guy, this actor, this film? It promotes garbage. And you go and you mamish worship it. You worship this. That's called a mechonef. A mechonef is a person that takes something which in essence is gesundheit, is total garbage, and you elevate it to the highest level. A leitz is someone who takes things that are truly valuable, whatever they may be in society, and you degrade it. Yes, Ramcho.
As it relates to David, I can understand the leitz because he starts out in the first mizmor talking about the Moshad leitz, the people who belittle him. But who are the mechanfim, I'm not quite clear on.
It means in society, it's a segment of society who live a life of chanif. You go look in the world today. There are people that they literally worship things that have no value whatsoever. they worship whatever. You could use your imagination. Okay. All different types of examples. People that worship things that are truly garbage. That is called a mechonef. A mechonef doesn't mean you go to the person, oh, you spoke so well.
Oh, there's that too.
It was brilliant. Like, there you're trying to get something out of someone. You have an agenda. I want this person to go and give me money. I want him to support my cause. He's a rich man, and I have an institution. I have some, and I need his money. So I'm going to go. I'm gonna flatter him, and go and tell him that he's so beautiful, he's so wonderful. So this and so that. I once remember someone wrote a letter. Someone wrote a letter, you know, to the community. A very wealthy person wrote this letter. Very, very wealthy person. He wrote this letter to the community, sent it out, the whole story. I read the letter, and I personally wanted to vomit from this letter. I really thought it was a low class letter. It was just low class. That's how I felt about it. Okay, what do I care? I don't even think I read it. Fine, put it away. It was a long letter. It was like 2-3 pages. All right, goodbye. Then I go, and I start. I hear people saying, "Did you read that letter? Oh, wow! I never read something so brilliant in my whole life." Another guy, and let me read the letter again. Maybe I'm just very stupid. I don't know how to read. Which is true. So I read the letter again, and my opinion didn't change. And I realized, very like everything else in life, the reason why these people are so enamored by the letter is because the person who wrote the letter is a billionaire. And money talks. Yeah. Money talks. I told someone, and they really got angry at me. I said, if this person would walk in the street naked, and it's all right, would walk in the street, you know what everyone would say? They would say, "Wow, what a beautiful body. What a beautiful body he has." Hey, if anyone else would walk in the street without clothing, they would call the police and they would say, "It's obscene.
Somebody has to say
obscene. Obscene. Take this guy, lock him up in jail. Put him in jail. Disgusting, mashugan out of his mind." But because he's a billionaire, if he would walk in the street without clothing, everyone would say, "Wow,
so the difference between what you call what eccentric or crazy.
A beautiful body. What a beautiful body." That's the mashal I gave for the letter. The letter, it spoke down to people. It was a low-class letter, I think, objectively. But because the person who wrote the letter is a billionaire, wow, never saw such brilliance, such chachma. I told you the story once about a very big gavir. It's a true story. He lost all his money. And when he was very rich, there were people lining up around the block. There was a line around the block, like the lines you see going to get tested for COVID. I used to see in my block in 19 by the emergency center. They used to have mamish lines around the whole block to get tested for COVID. Rahman al-Sun, that was going on. So this guy in Purim, they had the same line around his block, not to get tested, but he was giving out envelopes, right? And then by Hi Hayom, he lost all his money. And guess what? There was no line around the block. No one was around the block coming to Manpur.
He lost his money or someone else's money?
He lost, I don't know whose money it was, but there was no line around the block. So there was a neighbor on the block.
He was giving out money while the...
Chlesnish, whatever it was, but there was no more line around the block. So one of the neighbors felt bad for him. He must have a lot of tsar. That he used to be a big celebrity. He was giving out money. So he went to be mechazik him, incredible mitzvah on Purim. He went to him, Purim Shachmanis. He sat at the table to be able to, you know, cheer him up. Why not? What's so terrible? You could cheer him up. He went through tzara. So they're talking, and now you know you can be inyan, but it's inyan. And the person says, "Remember what it was like a couple of years ago when I was doing very well. I had all these people here on Purim coming. They came to me on Purim." Chaval, they don't come anymore. So he says, "I understand, you know, I can't help them, money, but how come they don't come for my advice?" My etzas. This guy is delusional. He thinks they were coming to him because he was giving them, you know, etzas, what to do for themselves to be successful in business. They weren't coming for your etzas, they were coming for your money. No money, we ain't coming anymore. So there are people, when they come to these type of people who give out money, what do? They compliment them. They tell them they're the greatest, they're so smart, they're so this, so that. They couldn't care less about them. They wouldn't open up, they wouldn't say one nice word about them. The only reason why they come and they compliment them is because they want something. That's the typical translation of flattery. You go and you exaggerate and you say things that are not true because you want something. That is a simplistic translation of a mechonif. A more profound understanding of a mechonif is a person who lives a life where he gives extra special value to garbage, to things that are not, that are indeed, good morning. A person that gives extra special value to things, watch your step over here, to things that are truly worthless. Person lives a life where he worships, you know, the latest movie star, a movie. I mean, come on, this is what life is all about. Yeah, it's entertaining. So maybe once in a while you need to go and loosen up a little bit, but to go and become a fan and a shagas and follow them on Facebook and waste your whole day knowing every little detail about their life. These people have any Yerushalayim, they have any values, any morals in life. This is what you worship. These are your values. A person who elevates things that have no value is called a mechonif. It doesn't just mean you go over to a rich man and you give him compliments so that 5 minutes later you can say, can you please help me? We're running a program and we need your money. We have to make payroll. We need from you $1 million. Can you do that? That's too simplistic. A mechonif is a person whose whole life is the worship of things that have no value. A leitz is not just a person that makes, you know, this is garbage, this says nothing. It's a person whose whole life takes things that are valuable and he degrades them. There's a category of people. David says that his enemies, they associate with the category of people called the mechanfim. They hang out with the lowlifes. The people who attack me, they don't just, if you want to identify who they are, they're the people who worship all of these things, have values in life that are not, they're elevating things in life that truly are worthless.
You should learn from Kush Leimos of moving Feinstein. So while moving.
What happened?
Very sick, they sent out another. Not even said.
Yesterday, really.
Yeah,
I didn't know about this. Ishavu Refuah Shleima.
Never recovered from the car accident. I mean, mentally.
That's something else, yeah. Right? But no, this is saying something physical.
I know.
Yeah.
Is something physical saying that?
Say what?
Yeah, listen.
Ishavu Refuah Shleima. What's his name? Ruvain Ben.
Sima.
Sima. Ruvain Ben Sima. Refuah Shleima. Ay.
He was the only.
Okay, so let's go further. So back to the Mizuzda. Mizuzda over here says, "Bechad v'heim 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 v'dei yischabu im hachanefim haloyagim umisloitzim haloyag mak umisloitzim." Okay, those two words like melates, same exact thing. B'vnei adam ba'avur matan ba'avur because matan hacharoda shemekablim because of the matan hacharora money. A charora means a loaf of bread. Because these people pay them, they feed them. Therefore, shem kabel mimi shereitze boze, v'chol echa mehem chorak olay shinav. Every single one of these people, they gnashed their teeth. Derech kas for ketzef. They put their teeth together, lift up their lips, and they made sounds as an expression of anger for ketzef. Look over here in the Mitzudos Tzion. Ma'og charara. So he says over the word ma'og. The word ma'og is a cake. It's a cake.
Yeah.
Ugois.
Yeah.
Ugois, the Jewish people, they got ugois hotziu mimitzrayim. Cakes.
Ugois
matzos. Ugois matzos. When ug is a cake.
Yeah.
Charara. V'uga. Kumo ish. Im yeshli ma'og, choroik inyan shechikas utachinas Hashem. So to grind your teeth. Our dentist, we have a dentist, Jack of the Beanstalk. Mordechai. Mordechai. Mordechai HaYehudi. Here he is. Did people ever complain to you about their teeth? They grind their teeth. Are you an expert in
TMJ?
TMJ, it's called.
Yeah. Yeah.
I once went to a TMJ guy, big guy, TMJ guy. He told me it's not TMJ. I'm in the wrong place. He told me. TMJ says that my issue is not TMJ. He was a great doctor. He was a really good doctor. TMJ. So that's what's over. These people over here, they need TMJ doctors because. Do you need a medical degree for that? TMJ? Is that a medical?
TMJ means temporal mandibular joint.
I can't pronounce that.
What does a J stand for?
Joint.
Teeth. It's where your teeth.
Joint over here.
Joint all the way up there.
When you open it.
Right, you're at the jaw. The jaw, yeah. I think the guy was wrong. I think I have a TMJ, right? Whatever. Any event, charoik means it means that they are grinding their teeth. Many people who grind their teeth, their problem comes from it's related to this type of issue. Or some of them. Charoik in shechikas utechinas hashinayim. The grinding of teeth. Elu bo elu behiskatzef kmo vayach. They grind their teeth. Okay, so therefore, let's go back and read the pasuk. We're talking b'chanfei. B'chanfei means, okay, everybody say please. B'chanfei.
Flat.
B'chanfei means they associate. The wicked people that I know, they associate with b'chanfei, people who flatter. Why are they flattering? So it seems that I was wrong. The flattering over here, the way the Mitzvah Stavah learns is because they're flattering because they want cake. They want a cake. They want marble cake. They want food. Free food. So therefore, because you want free food, politicians do this all the time. They want you to vote for them. They want you want the freest thing you can give a person is their vote. So they flatter you and they give you government benefits as flattery so that you should vote for them. Okay, if bribe, b'chanfei flattery, isn't flattery a form of bribery? Flattery is a form of bribery. You give a person covered, make-believe covered, in order that they should reciprocate and give you what you want.
If you go to a judge and you flatter him,
you go to jail.
He's going to rule on your case. You can't rule on
you. He's not allowed.
No, yes,
he can. He's not allowed, that's right.
If you flatter him, he can't rule?
Of course
you
can.
You can, no, yeah. You say
flattery
something nice.
He can
you say something nice. I know, so I... There, if a dayan comes to court and he meets in the hallway, a dayan comes to court and he meets in the hallway someone that he knows, and the person goes, "Oh, Rabbi Dayan, oh, it's nice to see you." So Dayan says, "What are you doing here? I have a case today in your court." Well, let's go back. Let's go back a step four. A person. This is a true story. I know this to be a true story. Okay. A dayan came. He that's what he did. He was a dayan. He came in. He came into the court. And he saw there someone that he knows, oh, Shalom Aleichem, and the person says, oh, Shalom Aleichem, and he said Shalom Aleichem, there was like a little drop of dust on his lapel, and the balabas, he went like this to the dayan, to wipe off the dust on his lapel. How are you, Shalom Aleichem, how's your wife, how are your children, what are you doing here today? I have a case, I'm in a Din Torah, and you're scheduled to be my judge. So the dayan says, well, not anymore. Now that you've done that to me, you've taken off the dust off my lapel, I'm already impartial. That's the halacha. And therefore I can't... I'm partial, and therefore I can't be your judge. Just for going like this,
recusal.
I have to recuse myself from your case. Now, compare that, to compare that to secular society Supreme Court Justice. Supreme Court Justice. If a president put you in power, and now there's a ruling that affects that president, are you eligible to make a decision for that?
He has a lifetime appointment.
I'm saying, of course, that today, secular law, you do whatever you want. Secular law, you can get away with murder. I'm just saying, okay, look at the difference between halacha. I mean, it goes on.
There are no judges that would be, fit to be a judge in Jewish law today, practically. I had a small claims court where you don't know who it's going to be, and I was suing somebody, and we were standing before the judge, And I looked at it, I didn't know who's gonna be, happened to be somebody I knew very well. And he wasn't my friend, he was my father's friend. And he looks down and he sees the name, he looks up at me and says, "Oh, how's your father?" And the other guy went.
So that's not a good thing. That is not a good thing. Okay, that's not a good thing. So
no, it's not a good thing.
Okay, but in this case, let's go back. All right, so the pasuk says, "B'chaim say you are flattering a person for so what la'agei la'agei ma'og la'agei for the ma'og is a cake. B'chaim say la'agei they flatter and they make leitzonus. La'agei means la'ag. La'ag means leitzonus." Mockery, for what purpose? For ma'og, in order to get a cake, to get a couple of bucks, to get some free bread. So these people are associating with a group of people whose modus operandi is to flatter and to belittle other people in order to earn, in order to get handouts, to get loaves of bread. These are not honest people. These are corrupt people. My David is saying that my enemies, they hang out with this chevra, a chevra that is mechanef and is la'agei, makes leitzonos, so that they should be recipients of a ma'og. It's a very hard pasuk. And what else do my enemies do? They also are choroik olai shinemo. They behave like babies. They grind their teeth. When I pass by in the street, they grind their teeth at me, making litzanus of me. I want to read the mitzvahs one more time because it's a very, very hard pasuk. Look at the Rebbe Chanfei. He adds a lot of words in him. Whenever the mitzvahs David does this, you can bet your bottom buck that all of the other rishonim are going to disagree, and they're going to translate these words very, very differently. He's saying he's adding a lot of chidushim. Again, one more time, Rebbe Chanfei, Heima, my enemies, yischabru. They join forces. Im hachanefim. With a group of people who flatter, that's the word b'chanfei. The next word of the pasuk is la'agei, haloyagim, people that are flatterers, who also, part of the business of flattering someone, making a compliment, is yin mischabed b'kloin chaveroi. It's a very common technique of flattery. Okay, Mr. Elman, could you maybe turn off the sound on the... people they flatter, and part of the flattery is their loy egg.
So, okay, two things. One is, I think the question is, what is this bez and bichan?
That's the problem. That's what he's addressing.
Yeah.
That's what he's struggling.
And the other thing is, who does Karok belong to? Is it belong to Karok Alai?
No, it's a separate statement. According to the Mitzvah Beis David, it is an independent statement. It has nothing to do with the meaning of the pasuk. Two different observations are being made about these people. David is saying, I have enemies. My enemies, they do two things. Number one, they identify, they associate with people who flatter rich people. And part of the flattery is you also have to put down other people. Like someone gives a speech. There are five speeches. So you say, how do you praise a person? Everyone else who spoke here was garbage. Garbage, nonsense. You were the only one who said something of value. Okay, you go to a dinner and there's a rich man, he gives a speech, there's a guest of honor, and you want to go butter him up, so he should give you a donation. So you say, wow. You said the most brilliant thing I ever heard in my whole life. But that's not enough. That's not enough to say that you spoke brilliant. You have to also say, and everyone else was a waste of time. Everyone else was garbage. They said crazy things. You mechabed b'kloin chavera. So you make late sonos and you mock everyone else in order to flatter this person. It's a technique. You ever listen to political speeches? All these political speeches? Part of the political speech is not only am I the greatest person, or not only is our candidate the greatest person, the alternative is garbage. Is garbage.
Little Joe.
That's babyish. that's low class, if you really have something to offer, if you're a high class person and you really have something of value to offer, it's not necessary to say about your opposition to make litzanus of them. You know, you can point out that, you know, if you're going to vote for this person...
No, the challenge is, are you going to attack the person or the policy? Are you going to promote yourself as a person or the policies that
Your policies. But sometimes you have to point out that the opponent, their policies are not going to be... There are major flaws. And we have to educate the people.
Legit.
That's a legit, 100% legit. But sometimes you see it takes a nasty turn.
Just personal
attacks, and you're appealing to a low class segment of society. And the problem is most of society fits in that category. So when most of society fits in that category, it's bad news. If that's the only way you can promote yourself is by putting that on other people, because that's what's in it's popular. It's a sad state of affairs.
The easy way.
It's a sad state of affairs that to run on a platform of putting other people down. Okay, that's not a milah. Dog over here. These two words go together. It's bechanfei lagei mo'og. There are people who are flatterers, and part of being a flatterer, of telling someone you're so great, you talk about the opposition that they're not so great, they're worthless. You become a mocker. Again, the words. They flatter, and at the same time they mock other people. For what purpose? For what purpose? The third word of the pasuk, in order to be recipients of benefit, to get handouts, to get a loaf of bread, which is just the mashal. A loaf of bread over here is just a metaphor, tax break, to get some type of a political appointment, some type of a benefit that you want. Bavur, for the sake of a matan, a gift, hacharara, a gift of a loaf of bread. Shemekablim mimi shereitzibazeh, from the person you want to get. So you have to engage in activity of flattery and mockery in order to achieve the result of getting a free handout. What a miserable life that is. What a miserable life. The only way you can go and you can support yourself is by flattering someone and behaving when you can't earn your own keep. It's a miserable existence. These people are miserable people, and David is saying that my enemies, that's who they are. That's who they associate with. And every now the Mitzvot David says that the second half of the pasuk is an independent statement. It's a completely different statement. Choroik olai shinemoi. That these people, they gnash their teeth. When I walk in the street, these lowlives, they go, they rub their teeth, they make noises. They growl. So growl. These people are just babies. They're babies. They're low life. They never grew up. They're adults who really are children. They never grew up. This is what David is saying. These are the type of people who don't like me. Low class people. This pasuk fataiches a low class person who you don't want to be. And David is saying these are the type of people that my enemies are. This is who they are, and this is who they hang out with. Now look at Rashi. Rashi doesn't say all this. Rashi pasuk tezayin b'chanfei la'agei mo'og b'shvil chanifus shel leitzonus achilu u'shesia, for the sake of flattery shel leitzonus. So that's pretty much the same idea as the Mitzvot David, that for the sake of flattery. Now what he does though is a little bit different than the Mitzvot, because whereas the Mitzvot David says there are two different things, there is flattery and there is leitzonus. This category of people, they engage in both. Rashi very delicately doesn't say that. He says there is a category of chanifa called leitzanus. Okay, you have to really go down to lo'imka shel davar. There's a category of flattery called there's a flattery of gifts and compliments, and there's a flattery. I don't really know what this means, but a flattery with a whole. The whole approach is leitzanus. Akama, Achila Ushasia, food and drink, which is the Harara, which is the Moog. That's the next word. She Machanifin Lishaul, which they flatter to request. Bishvil Shiachil Shemachanifin. Let's see. Shemachanifin. It says here Lishaul. Are we referring to Shaul HaMelech? Who says not? What?
Maybe
smartness. Well, yes, Lishaul means Shaul means to borrow. Sheela, Sheela Sivakosha, let's see, Bishvil Sheyachilem Vyashkem, so that he should feed them and give them to drink. Chorkim Olai Shinehem, they gnash their teeth. So that he's learning, let's one more line and we'll go back and explain. Ma'og Loshain Achila, the word mog means food, it means a cake. Like Ugois Matzis. Kumo Im Yesh Li Ma'og Delio, period.
Yeah, I guess it means that this is what David observed around the
Melech Shaul, referring over the king Saul.
He was there.
King Saul.
Saul HaMelech.
Right. So there are a lot of differences over here. First of all, Rashi is putting these enemies of David in context. He's not just talking generalities that there are enemies out there, there are lowlives out there. David is referring to the people who lived in his lifetime, in this early portion of his life, when he was transitioning between Shaul and David. Shaul, Hashem took away the Malchus from Shaul, because Shaul disobeyed Hashem's command twice, and the Malchus was given to David, but Shaul was still alive, and Shaul was not very happy about this, as you can imagine. And Shaul became paranoid, and he sent out people to go kill David. He wiped out the entire city because of this. Noif ir hakoyhanim. He suspected that they were helping. They supported David, so he wiped out a whole city. Tzadikim. He wiped out a whole city with major consequences, ramifications. So David's enemies were primarily parked in the camp of Shaul, and David observed how they behaved. The Chevra who hung out around Shaul. These people were dirt poor, and they supported 100%. They were not independently wealthy. The only parnasa came from the king. Shaul HaMelech supported them, and because Shaul supported them, they had to go say yes, 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 sir, yes, sir. They had to flatter him. They had to fire him.
Now, yes men.
They were yes men.
Do we know who was at his table?
Shaul, Dog, Doyeg, Doyeg, Hoa Doimi, Achi Toifel.
These were big people.
The greatest of the great. The greatest of the giver. Yeah, but Chazal said they were jealous and they were terrible people. Doeg HaAdami was a Baal Lashon. Doeg HaAdami was a Talmud Chacham par excellence. No one can come to him today in learning, but yet he was jealous of David and caused him to do things terrible averas. To speak Lashon Hara and to instigate Shaul against David. Chazal have terrible things to say about Doeg HaAdami. These people sat at the table of Shaul HaMelech, and they were jealous of David, and they had their own problems, whatever it was, and they caused a lot of problems they caused a lot of tsaros for David. They're not good people, these people. And these people, now here's another very important difference between Rashi and the Mitzudos, where Rashi learns that the word choroik olai shinemoi, the subject is Shaul. These yes men, they move their lips. It's just a mushroom. It doesn't mean they go. What it means is they say yes, yes king, yes melech, yes melech. They submit. They pledge their loyalty to Shaul.
What's their option?
Their option is they're in a lot of trouble. Like today, people today they're not paranoia. They don't have skills, and the only option is to collect money. It's a very sad situation. They don't have options. You're right. They don't have options. These people, they need money. They need food. They need food. They have children. They have to support children. They have this and that. And where do they get parnasa from? So they have the government. They have to go collect money. So, and even though they don't like the policies of the government, they don't like the people that they collect the money from, they have no choice but to say, you're the greatest, you're the greatest, you're the greatest, please feed me. I'm going to starve to death. Please, please, please. It's a horrible situation. But he's still painting a picture of what it is. And I guess the purpose of knowing this is that if a person has a chance in life, when he's young, not to fall into this situation, run. Run. Don't be independent. the greatest pleasure in life is to earn your own keep and not need to come on to anyone. When you have to come on to someone else, then you're no longer objective. All of a sudden, whatever the person does is the greatest. Whatever he does is the greatest, 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 because if I say something nasty to him, I'm not going to get a check in the mail. I don't get a check in the mail, I'm going to starve to death. So you lose your objectivity. And that's exactly what it says. Rashi learns, choroik olai shinemoi, even though it says the word olai, Rashi appears to interpret it, the choroik shinemoi, go back, b'shul shiyachilem v'yashkem, chorkim olai shinehem. Maybe I'm wrong, but because the word olai is a problematic, and Rashi doesn't say it the way the Mitzudas David says it. The Mitzudas David clearly says that the last three words of the Pasuk is an independent statement. These wicked people, when they see David in the street, they make late songs of him. I don't know if Rashi is saying that. Rashi maybe means to say that these words should be interpreted as part of the late songs. They're living in the palace, Shaul is the king, they don't like the policies. They don't like what they see. But their career is on the line, and they have no choice but to say, yes, 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 you're the greatest, you're the greatest, you're the greatest. Exactly. Like today, do you really think every single person in the Biden administration, they really, really believe in all of the policies that come forth?
A lot of them.
Okay, could very well be. Even in the Trump administration, does every single person there really believe in the policies?
But some did.
So let's say you have a person, it doesn't make a difference, Republican, Democrat, every administration, politics. The reason why I'm using politics is politics is public, everyone can relate to it to a degree. In politics, there are people who are in an administration and they don't agree with the policies. They don't like what they see.
Right.
So they have a choice. Either they can leave.
They don't have the integrity to walk away.
They don't have the integrity. Either they can leave. I don't like what I see. I'm going to walk away.
My pension.
Or exactly, or I will have pension. Okay, there are. I mean, it's already out there to a very large degree that in the medical profession is extremely strict. They have protocols. They have an approach to dealing with this pandemic. They have an approach, and it comes down from the Oval Office. This is the way it's going to be, and if that's I'm none of my business. I'm not a doctor. I don't know anything about it. But it's already well known that there are people. I don't know if it's a teeny amount, if it's a significant amount, who don't necessarily agree with the approach. So they have a choice. Their choice is either they can leave, and they can preach whatever they want to preach. But there are major consequences for these people. You're going to lose your pension. Everything.
Exactly.
I'm just giving you an example that we can relate to. Everything.
You see what's really going on.
Yeah.
And you know, you can also be part of the guilty. You know.
So here, when it says choroik olai shinemoi, what David over here is saying is that the people in Shaul's administration. They are moving their lips. They are moving their lips. He's giving a marshal. Choroik olai shneimo means they grind their teeth. But it doesn't mean they're grinding their teeth. It means they're saying to the boss. The boss is Shaul. Shaul here, it says, go find David and kill him. And the people there in his administration, they don't agree with Shaul. They do agree with Shaul. But one thing is for sure. The fact that they're still in the administration of Shaul's administration, they're all saying yes. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You gave the command that we should kill David? Yes, sir. They move their lips to Shaul, yes, 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 we will do whatever you want. And David is saying, come on, what Shaul is doing to me, to assassinate me, is wrong. It's wrong. Why is Shaul coming to kill me? What did I do to him? Why is he coming to kill me? Why are you coming? So David over here is saying, he's describing the administration of Shaul HaMelech. He's saying about them, according to Rashi, they are lowlifes. They're low-class people. They are people who flatter Shaul in a mocking way. Their flattery is David's a Rasha. David is an evil man. David was born an Ashes Ish. David did this, David did that. They say about David all these horrible, horrible things. They say to Shaul. They are mechanef Shaul. They flatter Shaul with late sonos. Shaul, you're right. Look what David did. He did this aver, he did that aver, he did this, he did that. They flatter Shaul with late sonos by putting David down. Why do they do this? You know why they do this? Because they need parnasa. If they're not going to do this, what are they going to do now? Where are they going to get a job? Who's going to hire them? How are they going to feed their family? They need the ma'ok. And therefore, this is how Rashi seems to learn, these people, they are choroik. Let's ignore the word olai for a moment. They are choroik shinema. They grind their teeth. David is using this as a metaphor. They continuously say to Shaul, yes, 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 yes. They're speaking, it's a continuation. This is not an independent statement. They're saying to Shaul, yes, whatever you want. And who suffers the consequences of this yes man? Olai. I suffer the consequences of this. I'm the loser. I'm the loser from all of this, David says. I'm the one who suffers the most. Yeah.
To say this,
Mark, you look very disturbed.
I am.
Baruch Hashem, you take it seriously. You take it very seriously. It's very good.
You need solutions. You can't come up here and say they're this way when you don't give a solution. And if you give the solution, tell the truth, they're dead. They just killed a whole city. Who knows how many people, millions of people, thousands of people. The same thing all over.
You're right. There are no solutions most of the time.
Nothing's changed.
There are no solutions. You have a solution? There
no.
are no solutions. But at least...
I looked at Torah for a solution.
You're saying good. What's the solution? But you're saying that because we don't know what the solution is, so don't even bother identifying the problem.
No, if you identify the problem, that will help to fix the problem.
It doesn't really help to fix the problem. I don't think so. You look around in society. There are so many problems. There's so much corruption, and nothing's going to change. This is the way it is. So what do? So most people like me, they do nothing, they sit back, and they leave me alone, and go to sleep.
You get what you deserve.
People are Amachol, he at least participates in identifying and putting these people on notice. How is that going to help? Hope. Maybe one day, maybe somehow a miracle will be an opportunity to do something about it. But at least the first step is know with what you're dealing. You can't do anything unless you can identify the situation. After you identify the situation, what are the chances you can be able to solve the problem? We all know almost nothing. That's life. What are you going to do about it? But at least identify the problem. David over here, you're right. He's not giving a solution. You're saying correct. There's no solution. The only solution is to daven to Hashem. But at least David here, in a very accurate and a very powerful way, he is identifying his enemies. My enemies are lowlifes. My enemies, Shaul is out of control. Shaul clearly wanted to kill David. It says in Farish in the Pasuk. Why? Now, was that correct? That was not correct. That was incorrect. That was a terrible, terrible thing. Yet David is afraid of Shaul because Shaul is the Mashiach Hashem. Shaul, for some reason, even though Shaul is trying to commit murder, David doesn't really go down hard on Shaul. It's interesting. You don't find David, because Shaul is a kadosh. He's a sacred person. How can it be a kadosh when he's trying to kill me for no good reason? I don't know. There's something going on that David's willing to give Shaul the benefit of the doubt. He's willing to give him. He's a sacred person. Shaul. Pasuk says, the Pasuk is Mishichvoy ulamalo gadol mikol ha'am. From his shoulders, there was no one in the entire Klal Yisrael as great, as holy as Shaul. So why then is Shaul trying to commit murder and kill David? And in the process, he wipes out innocent people. So many innocent people died because of Shaul. So why does David willing to give him a pass? I don't know. It's a big, big mystery. The Pasuk does say about Shaul that he is the holiest it can possibly be. It's a mystery. I don't have any answer. But now, David is not willing. Dr. Fruchter. Shalom Aleichem. Nice to see you. Bruchim Haboyim. Now, Shol, Mark, it's a big mystery how to reconcile the sanctity of Shol with his actions, which are clearly connected to Kol HaTorah. But David goes easy on it, very easy. However, Shaul's cabinet and administration, David calls them out for who they really are. He calls them a bunch of lowlifes. That he has no rachmanus. David does not give them a pass. He gives Shaul a pass, but not these people. He says about them the greatest insults man has ever seen. He puts upon his chevra that attach themselves to help Shaul achieve his goal. Because the people that are trying to help Shaul achieve his goal are not doing it for religious reasons. They're doing it out of just plain, simple hatred and barbarism. And David calls them out. And this pasuk, I mean the whole mizmah basically calls them out. And he calls them out over here in the most magnificent way, by telling them that you're living a life of a lie. You're part of an administration that's doing something that's no good, and you go along with this only because if you quit, you don't have a job. You're going to lose money. You're just doing it for selfish reasons. You need that ma'og. You need that cake. You need that loaf of bread. It's very tragic, because many good people would fall into this category. Because what are you going to do? You're going to say, no, how am I going to feed my family? Who's going to have the courage when you find yourself, you have a job? You're in any job. You work for any company. And you don't like what you see. I don't like, it's corruption. I don't like what they say. I don't like. So I just got to go and I need to bring home a check. Someone told me they work in this place, this company. And they became totally obsessed with this woke culture. Everyone has to have pronouns. Everyone has to go and write this letter, these crazy sign off on these letters about all these things. And this is a person, a shomet or a mitzvah. This is the last thing in the world he's interested in over here. But if he doesn't go along and just, you know, make believe with everyone in the chevra, he's going to lose his job. That's how much pressure he's under. And if he loses his job, he can't pay tuition. He can't feed his family. So what does he do? He just has to just hope. Gamze yavar. Just do the minimum, and just hopefully after, you know, gamze yavar, this mishigas will pass in a year or two. What, so he's going to go take a stand and say, this is a to'eva, and this is this. Yeah, who's going to give him a check? How's he going to get a job? How's he going to feed his family? So these people are the same people, no? No, wouldn't you give these people a pass? I wouldn't be any different. You need parnasa. These people, they need the ma'og. They need a cake. They need a loaf of bread. And because they need a loaf of bread, they go to Shaul and they say, Shaul, you're the greatest. There's never been anyone as great as you. And the Shaul says, go kill David. Kill him. Kill David? Maybe you're going a little bit too far. You challenge me, you're in the street. Okay, you're the greatest, we'll do whatever you want to go do. It's exactly what it says over here. The Chanfei Lage, they flatter him with late son, as David is a no good person because of the Ma'og. And Rashi is learning, that's why they continue to grind their teeth. It's a metaphor. They continue to say to Shaul, yes, you're the greatest. Choroik Olai Shinemo. Really, you should read Charok Shinemo to Shaul. And I, David says, I'm the collateral damage. I am the collateral damage of these yes men kissing up to Shaul and saying, yes. And who suffers the consequence of this mishigas? I, David, I'm the one who suffers this mishigas. Welcome to the real world. The more things change, the more things stay the same.
The Nazis were the same way.
No, you know, not all. You can't generalize. A lot of them had relish. They relished the hatred. The anti-Semitism was so great.
Couldn't do anything about it.
That was a defense. Following orders. Nuremberg trials. That was the defense. Just following orders. Is it really true? Is it really true? How far do you go with that? How far do you go with that?
They went all the way.
How far do you go with that? Tough, you know, obviously you can't generalize, but there's a certain red line. There is a certain red line you can't cross.
Yeah.
And you cross a certain red line in how far you go. Look, Shabbos. Don't call, if you don't come in on Shabbos, don't come in on Monday. So that was a very big nesayin for many, many people. And Chilul Shabbos. Chilul Shabbos is Chilul Shabbos. Okay, but if I don't, I'm not going to have a job. How am I going to feed my family? It wasn't like this today. There were no handouts. There were no Tomche Shabbos those days. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? There's a red line you can't cross. Are you an observant Jew? Are you going to go tell me the people that were Machal Shabbos, a lot of Gedolim would say, just people that Taka went to work, you can't say anything bad. Pikuch Nefesh. Pikuch Nefesh. Where do you draw the line? Where is the red line? It's a tough question. Okay, Nazis killing innocent women, innocent people, following orders to kill innocent people, that's a pretty thick red line. It's not, there's very little.
David did that.
What do you mean David did that?
He told people that.
Well, David was a near
Dov. Shaul did that, they killed David.
Shaul yeah. told his people, kill David. And they did, they killed Novi Arkohanan. And we find, who's to judge? You're asking very good. So those people, what would they say to Hashem? Following orders, Shaul's the Mashiach Hashem. He's the Mashiach Hashem. He gave us orders to kill these people, these innocent women and children. What do you want from us? Only Hashem can judge.
Don't you think if Shaul would have brought David to Beis Din, don't you think he could have proven that David was...
Shaul is the Beis Din. Shaul is the Beis Din. The Department of Justice has been taken over by the king.
Right. I would think that Shaul was right. Halakhically, he was right.
You say you bring out the point. Maybe you're right, 100%. Only Hashem, but there are red lines you don't cross. Who is the judge? Only Hashem. You know, there's a lot more that we don't know. We don't understand of what it was. And even the study of the Farshim, you're not going to get clarity because there's some different opinions. David, though, here is calling them out. Big time. Big time. In this passage. All right, let's finish with the Rashi. We have to stop. The last line in the Rashi. U'menachem pasar osaloshon ugas lechem. V'chein im yesh li ma'og. A loaf of bread. So how is it different than the previous interpretation? The previous interpretation says loshen achil. Okay, it's very similar. But what does the word ma'og? Is ma'og mean a piece of bread? That's what the Mitzvah David said. And that's what Menachem. Menachem says the word ma'og means a piece of bread. According to Rashi himself, it's just a little different. It means to eat. They are flattering the king, Shaul, because Shaul gives them the paycheck. Because they need what to eat. Okay, referring to the person. Menachem says the same idea. They need a piece of bread. We're focusing on the Gavra versus the Chefza, but it's exactly the same idea. We'll stop over here, take a short break, and we'll learn something on the parashah.